Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, as always, we begin our prayer with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here, truly you present in the tabernacle. And we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, this evening of recollection. Help us to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear, so that we can leave with some practical resolution and some closer relationship with you. Because you need us in this world to spread your love, your light, your truth to so many people who don't know you. And everyone is looking for you because they have an intellect that seeks truth, and you are the ultimate truth, the ultimate answer to the deepest questions. Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Where did this universe come from? Is there life after death? Is there a God? You are the answer. And everyone has a heart or a will, and it seeks happiness. And we know that nothing material, nothing finite, can satisfy that in some way infinite, unlimited longing for good, for happiness that only you can give us. Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. You need us to be full of your love, full of faith, so that we can help many others. And help us to do that, to make good resolutions tonight, so that we can leave closer to you with that desire to help others to find you. We do our first prayer on the sanctification of family life. And perhaps this can sound somewhat strange when we think that sanctity we find in prayer, we find it in Mass, but we find it in everything, because you are everywhere. We can find you in the kitchen. Saint Teresa of Avila said it. God walks amongst the pots and pans. Lord, you are everywhere. We can find you in family life, because in each one of the members of our family, you are present. You said it. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. By loving each one of the members of our family, we are loving you. And we find you in all aspects. Just as in the Holy Family, you were present, and Mary and Joseph found you, both when you were there, and then when you began your public life, and for 3 years were out preaching, healing, doing all those marvelous works. Mary was very aware of your presence then, even when she was in the home, doing that housework. And Lord, help us to find you in the midst of our daily, ordinary work, in the midst of our family life. But for this, we need to be very prayerful. We're not going to find you without making an effort. And the more we stop each day for some time and sometimes to be in your presence, to talk with you, to ask you for help, the more we will find you in those other times in between our times of prayer. And we will find you when we are ironing or cooking or doing the laundry or doing the shopping, because you are there. But in order to find you there, we must stop and have those regular times for prayer. And Lord, help us to see that what we do for the members of our family is so much more important than many other activities that we have. I suspect we all have activities that we enjoy, forms of relaxation, exercise, work outside the home. But in the end, after our relationship with you, what most matters is each one of the members of our family. Because, Lord, you have put us in this family as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, to help the other members of our family get to heaven. And especially parents, when they bring children into the world, are not just bringing them into the world, but bringing them into the world to form them, to educate them for eternal life. An awesome task, to form someone, to give them virtues, to give them piety, to give them knowledge of the faith, so that one day they can be with you forever in heaven. And that depends on all of us, on each member of the family. And of course, it demands that in the first place, we have a living, loving relationship with you. And then that transcends. The others see it. They are helped by it. Our piety, our kindness, our patience rubs off on them. And they come closer to God because we are closer to God. And Lord, help us to see that the time we spend with each member of the family is so important. That we be there for the others, that when one of them wants to talk, that we are available. And I remember a story that I read in a book by Mitch Albom, who gave us Tuesdays with Maury. This other book is called Have a Little Faith. One of the protagonists in the book is a Jewish rabbi, and Mitch is helping him in his life, ultimately, to give the eulogy at his funeral. But when he is asked to give the eulogy, the man is at least 10 years away from dying. But Mitch deals with him and discovers his papers on which he has written his homilies, his sermons. And in one of them, he finds this little story. And the details won't be exactly right, but the idea is, this girl comes to her mother, who may be in the kitchen preparing a meal. And the girl says, "Guess what?" And the mother says, "I'm listening." "Guess what? I can hear you." And the girl says, "But you're not listening with your eyes." And what a difference there is. Going on with our work while we listen with our ears, or turning to that daughter, turning to that husband, turning to that child, and listening with our eyes. To put aside whatever we were doing, at least for a moment, to listen, to pay full attention. And it makes so much difference. This person now feels truly understood. Do we do this? Do we spend time with each member of our family? Do we go for a walk, perhaps, with this one or that one? Take advantage when we're driving them here or there to talk about their interests, about their activities, about their friends. And simply being there, sometimes we can find activities outside the home that we enjoy, but are we at home enough for each one of our children, for our spouse? How much time do we spend in front of the television set? And that takes us away from the family, even though we might be watching it together with the family. And that can be good on some occasions. But that shouldn't be what family life consists in, watching television. Because then if somebody says something, the others will say, shh, we want to hear. And how many families have the television set on during meals? And that should be absolutely forbidden, that we talk during meals. We listen during meals. Each person has a chance to talk about what they're feeling, what they're doing, how they look upon some item in the news, whatever. But that interaction of a family that is enhanced so much when we are truly listening and talking in a meal, or perhaps in a little gathering after the meal, at the table or in the lounge room. We're talking. We're listening. People feel they belong in this family. And how do we celebrate birthdays? Mother's Day, Father's Day. Are they special? That the family can look forward to these gatherings where the family's together. And how do we live the church's feast days? And perhaps the children's saints' days and the parents' too. That when a big feast day comes, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption of Our Lady, some great saint, that is going to be a special day in the family. And maybe we will make an effort to get to Mass, to say the rosary that day, something special in the meal. The children look forward to this big feast day that is coming. And then we are sanctifying that family life, bringing Christ into it in a very simple but spiritual way. And then we will have at times someone in the family that we find a little bit difficult, some of the time or much of the time. And the patience that we show to that child who perhaps needs special attention is very sanctifying. To put ourselves out, to sacrifice for someone else. The greatest love is sacrifice. No greater love does a man have than that he lay down his life for his friends. And to sacrifice ourselves for someone that needs it more, that person that is sick. And we don't make a big deal of spending more time, of accompanying that person while they eat in bed. And we're not hoping that they're going to get well tomorrow. We're enjoying this opportunity to be with them. And they realize they are loved. And then all those jobs that we have to do, some of which are unpleasant. And the more unpleasant they are, the more sanctifying value they have. We are doing them, after all, in most cases, for the family. Doing the laundry, doing the cleaning, doing the shopping, making the meals. It's to serve the family. Lord, we are serving you in each one of the members of our family. If something costs us, so much the better. The effort that we make has more sanctifying value than something that we find easy and pleasant. But we might ask ourselves, do I do those difficult jobs that I really don't enjoy, that I tend to put off and put off? Or do I decide, today I'm going to do this? That is very sanctifying. Climbing that mountain, taking up that cross and carrying it and offering it up to you. And then if in the middle of the night we have to get up because a child is crying or someone is sick, then we don't enjoy being woken up, having to get out of bed and help someone. But how sanctifying that is. Because now, again, we are serving someone in special need. I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. Lord, help us to do this. Whatever you are asking, in whatever way we can serve our family and each one of the members of our family. Help us to do it. We are finding you. We are bringing you into their lives. We are showing them your kindness, your patience, your generosity. And then they will find you more readily at the same time as we are being sanctified by that very effort that we make. And then in our relationships with all the members of our family, starting with our spouse, that spending time talking, listening, doing things together, accepting the criticism that they may give us. From time to time, they will tell us things that annoy them. How do we take those criticisms, which aren't really criticisms, but just comments that highlight some defect that we have? Are we humble enough to receive it, to realize that we didn't know that we were in some way hurting them? And we apologize, and we ask for their forgiveness. This is humility. We learn through this. Some people are proud. They can't take criticism, and they find excuses, and they think the other person is just exaggerating, is over the top. Lord, help us to hear criticism, to accept it, to realize there's substance in what they are saying and find a way to improve. Doing things together with other members of our family, there will be things that they like and we don't. And instead of complaining whenever they want to do them, we can go along with them and at least accompany them, even if we're not particularly enjoying it. And the chances are we will come to enjoy it because there is someone there that's doing something that they like. We are with them. We are serving them. We are serving our Lord in doing that. And we will be sanctified and we will come perhaps to like doing it as well. And then that whole area of the formation of children, but formation of all in the family. Formation in virtues. And the best way to help someone else is to live the virtue ourselves. We can talk about how one ought to live, but the best way is to show them at least the effort that we are making. We're not perfect. We're not a model of anything. But at least the more virtuous we are, the more they will see what kindness is, what sacrifice is, what cheerfulness is, what order is, and they will be helped by our example to live those virtues. And then the whole area of piety, family prayer. And so often couples say, we used to say the rosary together, but the children were here and there and we stopped doing it, but we really ought to take it up again. And it is so good when a family can stop and pray together. Certainly grace before and after meals, perhaps some night prayers together, but if they can say the rosary, it really unites people. Years ago, when Pope John Paul II gave us the apostolic letter Rosarium Virginis Mariae, and with it, the new Mysteries of Light, we had a seminar in the Adult Education Center in Sydney on the rosary. And a very fine woman spoke about the rosary in the family. And one of the things that she said that still sticks in my mind was, in that family, which was quite large, she said there might have been some arguments, there might have been some tensions before we said the rosary, but after the rosary, they disappeared. There was just harmony. There was more unity. And apart from the value that the rosary has in itself, as we meditate, Lord, on your life, as seen through the eyes of your mother, the rosary can unite a family too. And then teaching the children the faith, the doctrine. And here parents are the first and foremost educators. Many families that I know spend some time each week with their children, maybe going through the catechism or a more simple catechism, but studying some aspect of the faith, perhaps discussing it, so that the parents know, yes, my children are learning the faith. without that knowledge. They can't practice it. Without knowledge of you, they can't love you. And the more they and we know you and deal with you, the more we're going to love you. And this is the goal of parents, to bring their children up well so that they do come to know God and be firmly on their way to heaven and help others on that way too. To pray for each member of the family. Do we do that? Do we have regular times when we can just say that memorare, that Our Father or Hail Mary, one for each member of the family, and especially someone that may be going through a more difficult time, to pray more for that one. Yes, we entrust them into the hands of God, but God wants us to pray for them too. And then if children aren't practicing or a husband isn't practicing, patience. We have that sense of urgency on the inside that leads us to pray very much for that person. But on the outside, we don't push. It won't do any good. We simply encourage from time to time. We show them that we love them, that we are always there for them. That yes, we hope that one day they will come back to going to Mass or going to confession. But we can't push them. And then to take care for the moral tone in the family. And this means, what is watched on television? Who may be staying up later at night when the others have gone to bed? And watching programs that very often will not be moral at all. And what are people looking at on the internet? Because in addition to so much good material, there are sites that are truly toxic, poisonous, destructive of moral values. And people have a way of finding them. Do our children have access to the internet in their own room? Generally, the rule is there is one computer that has access to the internet and it's in a public place. And this can depend on the number of children and their age, but we have to be very careful. And the same thing applies to mobile phones. The so-called smartphone, which may be a dumb decision to have our children have possession of one, on the smartphone, they have immediate access to the internet wherever they are, with all of the good things again, but all of the harmful ones as well. And when we go away on a family holiday, do we go to a beach which perhaps isn't an appropriate one for a family, for children? And what films do we go to watch? What parties do our children attend? Because sometimes the environment in certain parties isn't good at all. Lord, help us to see the great mission that we have as parents, as members of a family, to find you in all those aspects of family life, from the most difficult and unpleasant jobs to the relations with each one of the members of our family, that because of our relationship with you, our faith, we can help them to find you, help them to be more united. And all of this leads to a more healthy society, a healthy family, a healthy society, at least in that family. And the family itself will have a great influence on other families. When children go to visit their friends and they go to a good Christian family, they love being there. There is joy. There is love. There is companionship. And they gravitate back to those families. And those children may be coming from families where the faith isn't as strong, where the family values aren't as strong. Learn family values in these good families. And through those children, they will one day form their own families. And they will be influenced for the good by their relationship with our own family. The family is so important. Pope John Paul II, in a homily at the Flemington Racecourse in Melbourne in 1986, said, "The future of any society rests with its young people. In fact, the young are the most precious possession of any society, and a community is decadent when it does not want children, when it does not love them and respect them." And in his letter to families in 1994, he said, "The history of mankind, the history of salvation, passes by way of the family. In these pages, I have tried to show how the family is placed at the center of the great struggle between good and evil, between life and death, between love and all that is opposed to love. To the family is entrusted the task of striving, first and foremost, to unleash the forces of good, the source of which is found in Christ, the Redeemer of man. Every family unit needs to make these forces their own, so that, to use a phrase spoken on the occasion of the millennium of Christianity in Poland, the family will be strong with the strength of God and bring so much good into the world. Mary, our Mother, Saint Joseph, our Father and Lord, Jesus, the Son of that Holy Family, help us to look to your Holy Family as the model, to see how we can improve, to make our family more modeled on yours, to bring you into our life, to bring God into this family, that family may be truly an oasis of faith, of values, of virtues in this society, and through the family to improve the society around us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.